as we turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to be looking at specifically verses 3 and 4 today, this morning. And it's a joy to be with you this morning. This is a closer time. It's been a great time this weekend just to hang out with you guys, get to know some of you a little more, to catch up with some of you as well. And as I was thinking through what I wanted to close our time with, I wanted to make sure it was encouraging. I didn't want to leave you here with a rebuke. Just wanted to make sure that you leave here just more equipped, just a little more stoked on Christ. And so I thought of this text. I thought of this passage here in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I couldn't really think of anything more encouraging than just looking at what God says about how to battle, what God says about how to fight our sin, what it means to be a good soldier for Christ in the fight for our holiness. I couldn't think of anything more encouraging than that. Recently, I listened to the audiobook No Easy Day. If you guys have heard of that, it's the first-hand account of the guys, the SEAL team that went in and killed Osama bin Laden. It's an epic book. You guys should read it if you have time. But he not only describes the raid on the compound, but he describes just his life in the SEALs, of just the training, the other missions, the things that he went on. He just describes his thoughts through everything of pointing guns at certain people, just what was going through his mind. His life was insane, I guess, to say the least. He was involved in some of the most secretive missions in the world, and some of the worst missions the SEALs have been a part of. But what's interesting about the book and how he describes like his missions and his training and all the hard work that him and the other guys went through, he just said it was normal. It was just a normal thing for a soldier. It was part of their job as a soldier, as a SEAL. He would describe the long nights, the lack of his sleep, the lack of any food, the fact that it was really hard to have a family. They would practice this nonstop as if they were not on a mission, they were always preparing for one. And he would describe how when he would go on missions, he'd get his pack ready and his clothes ready. And he said that I would know every single gram on my body and it had a purpose. Every single gram of stuff that I took with me had a purpose. He didn't take anything with him that he did not need. He would do things with precision, with great diligence, so as to win, to fight hard, to come home safe. He also talked about how him and his team, they were a team. They were his closest friends. They had each other's backs. Excuse me. I'm fighting out something this morning. They had each other's backs. They were the ones who were in the trenches together, fighting together. They would jump out of airplanes in the middle of the ocean together. They would train together constantly. Their lives were so close that each mission would be more comforting because knowing that this guy has my back. This guy's not going to be hunkering down and letting me do all the firing. The life of the soldier will always be just that. His life. Because a soldier doesn't wonder where his three-course meal is. He's just thankful for that he has his life. My concern for myself and for a lot of us is that we don't always view our lives as soldiers and have that soldier mentality, especially in our fight of sin, in our fight for holiness, and our pursuit of sanctification. And this is what this morning's text is really about. So let's go ahead and read. We'll read from verses 1 through verse 7, just to get the idea and the context in our head, but then we'll just look at verse 3 and 4. It says this, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles themselves in the affairs of everyday life, so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything." And so really the main idea in those two verses that Paul is trying to get across to Timothy in this whole idea is just that we are soldiers of Christ. And as soldiers of Christ, we should expect to endure hardship. and not be surprised when, not if, they come. That we should expect to endure just hard times, battles that are difficult, and not be surprised when, not if, they come. And so from the text, we're just going to see four marks of a good soldier. And so number one, that one's pretty clear in the text here. You can see it. The first mark is that the good soldier suffers hardship. Verse 3 there, the good soldier suffers hardship. Now, this might be harder for some of us to understand. We might not suffer as other Christians in the world do. We're not being persecuted like other believers are. We're not afraid that somebody's going to come into our church service and blast us all away, although that could happen, and that does happen on occasions. However, we still must suffer. We must still be willing to suffer, meaning that we're willing just to do the hard things that may cause suffering to happen in our lives, may cost us our jobs. I have friends who've stood up against certain things Scripture calls out and losing their jobs. And they have families. It may cost us the ministry to stand bold. There's many pastors out there who have been faithful men who just preach the word and they get kicked out of their own churches. It may cost us the friendship or any other relationship or something else that I can't think of. But the point is that this here, Paul's saying suffer hardship, it's a command for us as believers. It's a command. And yes, it's going to look differently, but the command still remains, right? So what does this look like then? What does this mean for the servant leader to suffer, you know, in our context? What would that look like for us? And there's several things we could look at, but I just want to focus on one this morning. Just looking at how the servant leader, the good soldier, suffers hardship in his fight for sin, and how that's a hardship. It's by seeking our holiness, by seeking to be sanctified in the Lord. I'm sure you guys all know this, but just to make sure, that sanctification is just a really fancy word for being more like Christ. That pursuit of being like Christ. Being made more and more into Him, His image. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians, that we're being changed from one degree of glory to another. And the word for, excuse me, the word for holiness just really means to be set apart, to be holy. Right? Just to be set apart from that which is not holy. So holiness and sanctification, they can't be separated, they go hand in hand. To be holy is to be more like Christ. To be like Christ is to be holy. So what does this mean then? How do we suffer hardship by seeking holiness? It means this, that we have to constantly be denying our flesh. Constantly be denying our own desires. Constantly desiring our wants, our lusts, our supposed needs. It means seeking to go against the world, the culture, to be men, to be used by God. To be those servants that we heard yesterday morning, and to not be the sluggard that we talked about last night. To not be a sluggard is to battle hard. It's to battle hard. And it's to be what Paul told Titus in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. He says this, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us." So what does God's grace do? It instructs us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. And he says this, it's to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good works. And I know that's hard. It's hard. I stand here before you saying that this is hard. It's hard to always obey Christ. It's hard to make that hard decision I'm not going to do what the world says. I'm going to just obey the Scriptures and obey Christ. A lot of times it's easier to I'll just veg out. I won't do anything. I just won't obey. It's hard to love my wife and to love my kids perfectly. It's hard to do that. It's hard to shepherd my family all the time. It's hard to minister to people in the church sometimes. It's hard to always have those conversations. Oh, I'm afraid if I say this again, they might not like me. It's hard to confess our sin because somebody might find out we're not perfect. Oh, geez, Matt, he's not perfect? Oh, man, geez. We suffer hardship by denying our flesh. by denying what we want and seeking what God wants, to do what would most please God. And so we just need to stop just hanging out all the time, doing nothing. Stop just always watching movies, playing video games, looking at porn, and start discipling somebody. That's hard. That's being a good soldier. Right? Be willing to give up whatever it is that's keeping you from being that godly servant leader. To pour into other people. That's what God is calling us as men to do. We are the men. That's what God has called us to do. That is our job. So as Eric was saying, start having the quiet times or whatever you want to call them, the times with God and the Word and in prayer every day, however that might look for you guys. Start reading good theology books, being equipped as a good soldier. Because you see, a soldier, he doesn't enlist into the army or the SEALs or whatever and just start fighting. He's like, I'm here, give me a gun. He doesn't do that. Maybe like, you know, World War II or something, I don't know. But they don't do that. They need training. They need to be equipped to be soldiers. Which leads us to our next point here. And the next second mark of a good soldier is that the good soldier is an act of service. He's an active service. And just as the soldier doesn't start the battle on his first day, he realizes that this is my life. He realizes this is my life. This is normal. I don't have a normal 9-to-5 job. I don't have a normal 40-hour week job or even a 70 or 80-hour week job. My job as a soldier is 168 hours a week, 52 weeks a year. Even if the soldier does have a day off, he realizes I could get a call and I need to be in there within 2 hours. I need to be back. But Paul's saying that we're soldiers who are in active service, realizing that the battle that we're facing is real. It is ongoing. Sin never sleeps. Our flesh does not rest, even though we have to. We get sick and our body is weak and we're frail, but our flesh rages on. Right? And we realize that we are an act of service and we can't always have our perfect circumstances. Things can't always be easy. But we're in the battle. Soldiers don't expect to have comfy beds, nice warm blankets, expect to sleep in a foxhole. To have rain pouring down on his head, to not get any sleep, to hold his gun in his hand while other guys are watching his back. Right. And as soldiers of Christ, we can't expect our life to be easy and get upset when it doesn't. Like, oh, this is so hard. Why does this have to be so hard right now? And one of the things that I've seen in my own life and some other guys' lives is that the struggle and pursuit for holiness and sanctification is that we forget that it's actually a battle. We forget that. Because we're so used to our instant gratification, however that may look, that after fighting for sin for a week or two, or maybe a month, we're just like, oh, that's so hard. I'm done. I can't believe this. It's taken me so long to be this type of person. We start to get really discouraged when we see ourselves as not being perfect. Oh, why do I still have to battle this long? This is so hard. Or even thinking, oh, I'm entitled to take a week off from my fight, because I've done that for 2 months now. I'm okay. I deserve a week. I deserve a break. And I think that too. Because we often forget, again, we're soldiers. We're soldiers. It takes time and training to battle, to fight our flesh. We try so hard and want to give up because it just seems harder than we first started. It's just harder than it was 2 weeks ago. What's God doing? Well, this isn't working. In the book No Easy Day, the author describes how he was trying out for just a special section of the SEAL teams. And the training time for that special group was 9 months long. It was a 9-month long training just for that special group of men. It wasn't just a day, it wasn't a month, it wasn't a week. It's 9 months. He realized he can't be the best of the best with only a few hours of training. He can't learn to be some of the best fighters in the world only after a month of training. And he would fight hard every single day for 9 months, and it just got harder. The training at the end of 9 months wasn't easier than when he first started. That wasn't the intent. The intent was to weed people out. And that's how it is with us guys. Our battle gets harder. as we're fighting our sin more, as we're learning how to do that, it gets harder. But we still keep battling. We still keep fighting. Right? So we want to constantly be working just on our skills that God has given us to be equipped to be those types of men. To be trained. Right? And our battle, men, our service is such that we understand that things will be hard, that we will struggle sometimes for a long time. For a long time. We maybe not wonder, why is it taking so long to be rid of my sin? Why am I not perfect yet? Why am I not there yet? And it's a lot, because it's a lifelong battle. It's our life. Sometimes it takes years to really overcome a sin. Sometimes it takes a lifetime until we die. Now, I was thinking about this yesterday. This is what our dear brother Nick understood. He understood this. Nick understood this. He battled sin harder than a lot of people that I know. He battled it. Because one of my last conversations with him was about this very thing. Right before he died. About fighting hard until we die. And he got it. He's like, oh, thanks, Matt. That was so great. I need to see the fight. But now he gets it now more than we ever do. Than we ever will on this earth. May we just press on with that, brothers. Understand this life is a battle. And sometimes our struggle, too, is that we are too entangled with the world. Also, Paul says here that, verse 4, no soldier in active service gets entangled entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life. And the word entangled literally means just to weave together, to weave it together. It's like taking a masterpiece like the Mona Lisa and just getting a bunch of red yarn and sewing it in the painting, thinking you're doing everyone a favor. Like, oh, that looks better. And for us, it's like spending all of our time on entertainment or recreation rather than with God and with His people. Rather than being more equipped and more trained, doing the same drills over and over and over and over and over again to get it right, so that we're equipped in the battle, equipped in the fight, we'd rather just sit down and watch movies or do whatever. And that's my struggle, guys. That's my struggle. And these things aren't necessarily sin. I'm not saying that. It's not sin to watch a movie. Not sin to relax. But they can hinder our work as a soldier. They can entangle us to not be as effective as we should be. Thus, the normal civilian activities begin to crowd out the daily life of the soldier. The daily life, or the battle of the primary service of worshiping our King. The author of Hebrews says chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore, since we have a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and sin, which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Jesus also said in Luke 9:57, he says this, as they are going down the road, somebody said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, permit me to first go and bury my father. And he said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. Another said to him, I will follow you, Lord. But first let me permit to say goodbye to those in my house. But Jesus said to him, no one, after putting his hand to the plow, and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. And being a servant leader that we've been looking at this weekend, it just means following Christ at all costs. To not put our hand to plow and looking back. To realizing that we need to have our battle clothes on, our soldier clothes on 24/7. So if we're called to the battle, we're there, we're ready. Because be encouraged though. Because your hard work, your battle scars, they honor the one who enlisted you. They honor the one who enlisted you, which leads us to the third point here. The third mark of the good soldier is that he pleases the one who enlists him. Paul says here that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Who is that? We don't fight our sin just to say we're better or gooder people than we were, you know, last week. Or last month, we don't fight for holiness because so and so might, they're going to see that I'm but I'm holy now. We fight because we want to please God. We fight because we want to honor God. And just as the soldier seeks to please maybe the general or the commander-in-chief or whatever, that he enlists him on his team, so God would be honored when we please Him because He's the one who enlisted us. We didn't choose to be a soldier. We didn't choose that life. God chose us. He drafted us into His service. Because He's the one who saves us. He rescues us. He redeemed us. And now we desire to let other people know that we serve Him. That we are His servants. We are His slaves. We are His soldiers. And we just do what He tells us to do. Right. Just as the commander, again, wants to train his men so other people know, oh yeah, he was trained by that guy. This SEAL team is the best team because they were trained by these men. So God seeks to train us and mold us so other people know, you've been trained by God. You've been trained by God. And so He gets all the glory. He gets all the glory. It's interesting in the book, again, he was saying, like, no one knows the SEAL team. No one really knows their names that went in and killed Osama bin Laden. But that was probably one of the biggest missions ever that they've ever done. But no one knows their name. They know the general's name who told them to go. But no one knows their name. That's how it is with us. No one, who cares if no one knows their name? I care if people know about God. People know who God is. Because we represent God in the fight. We represent God. We want to make Him proud. Pleasing Him by fighting hard and not retreating because some enemy started shooting at us. Like, oh, it got hard. We seek to serve God and to be faithful soldiers so that we can hear one day, well done, good and faithful, what? Slave, servant. You were faithful in a few things, but I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Right? Enter into the joy of your master. And lastly here, the fourth mark of a good soldier is that he sees the church, the local church, as key to fighting his battle. And what do I mean? Where is that in the text? Look back at verse 3. Paul says this, suffer hardship with me. With me. Paul was encouraging Timothy, like, look, I'm suffering with you, brother. I'm right along there, alongside you in the trenches, battling this fight. I'm taking enemy fire just like you are. And how much more encouraging is that, brothers, that we know that we have each other, linking arms in the battle, right? That we're fighting with our brothers. We're not just some lone ranger out there with a gun. We have each other, right? Because we were in this together. We were brothers in the trenches getting shot, getting dirty together, blood on our faces. We fight for each other's holiness as well and each other's sanctification because we care for each other. We're willing to say the hard things to one another because as soldiers, we want to know, okay, if you don't know how to use your weapon, I'm going to tell you how to use it because my life's on the line. You know, we don't want to be the guy who says, no, it's okay. I don't know how to use my gun. I don't know how to use my grenades, or really any of my other gear, but it's okay, because I look like a soldier, so that's fine. If that was a real soldier, I mean, he'd get kicked out. Like, you're done. Get out of here. And that's why the church is so important, guys. Because it's not just some nice place we go to on Sundays or midweek. Although it is that, but it's more than that. It's a place where we come to be equipped. It's a place where we go to be trained how to use our weapons, how to use our armor. We were come to be bandaged up from the wounds that we've received during the week from being shot at by the enemy. And because if we're trying to fight it on our own, we might succeed for a little bit, but eventually we're gonna get run down. We're gonna get run down. That's why we need to get plugged into the local church, get discipled, get poured into, get trained. Because the church is our training grounds that we constantly are needing. We're not out in the world in a battle. We're in the church getting trained. It's where we get equipped to be, where we get admonished. Because no real growth happens apart from the local church. And Jonathan Lehman, in his excellent book just called Church Membership, says this, that the local church is the authority on earth that Jesus has instituted to officially affirm and give shape to my Christian life and to yours. To affirm and to give shape It's the church that is to affirm that we are fit for battle. Yeah, you know, you're so-and-so, yeah, you're fit to go out. You're fit, you're ready, you're equipped to go out into the battle. Whether that looks like one-on-one discipleship, training classes, conferences, times like this. You know, we want to be, you're just being confronted because we're not representing the king as we should. That's just the life of the soldier. In my favorite book, other than the Bible, Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan describes how a Christian comes to a place called the Beautiful Palace, which represents just the local church. Christian comes in, and he's shown several different rooms, and one of the rooms he's shown is the armory. He's shown the armory. He's shown all the weapons in there. This is how you use a sword. This is how you use a shield. This is this armor here. This is the helmet. He's not just shown them, like, oh, look at these pretty things on the wall. He's like, here's how to use them. He's trained how to use them. Wear these and put them on and go out and be equipped for the battle, for the rest of your journey. And that's, Bunyan rightly describes the church as a beautiful palace. That's a beautiful picture, men, of the church, to be equipped for the battle. Right? And this is just how the church is to train people, to show them how to use their armor, to teach them how to use it. So what now then? You know, what now do we do? How is this encouraging? Just as servant leaders, we're to be examples. We learned that. We learned yesterday, right? We're not to be sluggards. We're to be examples in our holiness and our pursuit for sanctification and faith and love and purity and life. Right? And as we saw earlier, it's not about a life of ease and comfort, but rather suffering hardship as a life of a soldier. Because our lives are constant battles. But this is the thing that's been promised to us, though. Our lives have been promised to be difficult, to be hard. Paul says a little later on in 2 Timothy, he says, all those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be what? Suffer. They will suffer a little bit. They will enjoy much things in life. He says, no, they will be persecuted. All those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Not just, oh, that's the pastor's job. That's the deacon's job. That's just the elders. They do that. All who desire to live godly. Right? That includes all of us. Includes all of us. Right? And we also see in Hebrews 12 that it's the loving Father who disciplines his children. You're not representing me how you should. I'm going to discipline you because I love you. That's how I treat my kids. My son, my daughters, I have four kids, and you know, one of them is 2 months old, so she doesn't get disciplined yet. But the other three, you're not representing Christ. You're not obeying mom or dad, so you can get a little spanking. Because we love you. That's what God does to us, right? That's what just we freak out sometimes, like, oh, it's so hard. It's because we're being disciplined sometimes. Because we're in sin. But it's okay. Because why does God do that? Just don't go up there and laugh like, oh, that's funny. No, for our holiness. For our good, right? For our good. And this is encouraging because we know, again, that we're in the battle that we are called to do. It's not unusual. It's not something that's, oh, this, what's going on here? It's just normal. We're not going through anything new. We strive for holiness, knowing that we might take one step forward and take 10 steps back. A good example was yesterday. I was snowshoeing with some really awesome snowshoes that broke. And I was going up a steep hill, and I would take one step, and then I would slide down. Like, oh, this is great. I'm not going to get anywhere. I'm just like, I'm tired. I want to give up and just like fall down and die. But there was a brother there who's like, hey, let me help you up. You grab him, he'd pull me up. Yeah, we might take one step forward and take 10 steps back, but we have brothers to lift us out of that. Hey, well, come with me, guys. Let's link arms and go together. Because when we fall, we need our brothers to pick us up. That's why we're here. That's why the church is here. Because we suffer hardship as a good soldier of Christ Jesus, knowing that when we suffer, when we endure, when we plug into the local church and serve hard and are faithful, when we disciple other people and get discipled, when we deny our ungodliness and worldly passions and live righteously and live godly, we are pleasing Christ. And that's encouraging. That is joyful. He's the one who enlisted us as a soldier. So fight hard, men. Just don't give up. Let's pray. Lord, we're just thankful for your word. And just thankful for this, that you enlisted us, Lord. You are the one who drafted us into your service. And Lord, may we just this week, even today, and this year, Lord, fight as men who understand we are in a battle. Life is difficult. Life is hard. We live in sin-cursed bodies in a sin-cursed world. And Lord, we are not in heaven. We are not perfect. Lord, may we just fight hard. May we seek to please you, Lord, not to please anyone else, but to please you in our battle. Amen.